There in the book of Romans 3, the Apostle Paul, in quoting a psalm, presents to us a very ugly picture of what we are by nature. However, we find that the Apostle Paul teaches in Colossians chapter 3, if you then be risen of Christ, seek those things which are above. We're also to set our affections on things above, not things on the earth. That tells me that once the Lord Jesus Christ enters our life, we have an ability now to do things that before we could not do. And we have a nature now that is comely and beautiful, that's able to love the Lord and do those things which are profitable right in His sight. This morning I want to look, if we can for a few moments, at an individual in the 14th chapter of the book of Mark who understood that obviously she was a limited woman, but yet the Lord blessed her with something, and what He blessed her with, she used that to serve Him. In the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, it says, beginning in verse 3, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he, the Lord Jesus, sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious." It says, "And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always." Well, the next verse, "She had done what she could." She had done what she could. Man by nature is constantly thinking about what we can't do. I'm often hearing excuses of what we're not able to do. Church might face a building project and somebody comes, well, we just are not big enough. We just can't do it. Maybe a family wants to build a home. We just can't do it. Maybe a husband and wife want to have children. Well, we just can't do it. We can't afford it right now. We often hear what we are not able to do, and I recognize that man has limitations upon him. I'm fully aware of that. I've lived long enough to know there are things that I just cannot do. I'm thankful the Bible tells me that what I can't do, thankful the Lord did do and the Lord does do, and I'm thankful for one who has the power and the strength and the authority to do what I'm not able to do. But the Bible also tells me that there are things that I can do. I find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That doesn't put many limits on it, does it? I find the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said that if we had the faith to move mountains, if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, be removed, and it would be removed hence. He tells the disciples that through prayer and through faith, there was nothing they couldn't do. We often look at our limitations instead of looking at the God who has no limitations. Now I realize without His help, I can do nothing. But with Him, I can do all things, according to Philippians chapter 4. This woman understood that. She recognized, obviously, she had limitations. But there was something that the Lord had blessed her with, and that which she had, she used in a way to serve Him. Again, here she comes. The Lord is eating at Simon's house. He's a leper. And they're in Bethany, and here he's sitting at meat, and while they're all assembled together, this woman comes, and she has a box of ointment or perfume, and she breaks the box or breaks the seal on the box and is ready to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ. However, when she does this, it says there was some indignation. And as you read the other Gospels, you'll find that at this point is where Judas determines to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that he had the bag. In other words, he had the purse. He was the treasurer of the apostles. And when he saw this woman make waste and heard the Lord defend her, he was greatly enraged. And he, at that point, goes out and covenants with the high priest and those elders and scribes and Pharisees to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. This woman took what she had. I don't know what else she could have done. But according to the Lord Jesus Christ, she did what she could do. Here, this was probably all that she could do for the Lord Jesus. But he tells them, she's done a good thing. She's wrought a good work upon me, because here she anointed his body for burial.
Obviously, she knew something was about to transpire. She had some wisdom that even the disciples who had been with the Lord and whom the Lord had already told that he was about to suffer, she had some wisdom and insight that they didn't have. Here I realize that there were some of the disciples that came after he was buried to anoint his body with various ointments and myrrh and such. But here this woman is making preparation before his death. She recognizes that he's about to suffer. She knows something horrible is about to come in his life. And she takes a moment and takes what she does have and blesses the Lord Jesus Christ. He says she's wrought a good work. Here she's done a good thing. And here you have indignation. You know, they come with the guys. Well, this could have been sold to help the poor. They weren't concerned with the poor. They were concerned that the money bag wasn't being filled. They didn't care about the poor. And the Lord said, you've always got the poor. And that's true. And the Lord was not speaking against helping the poor. That's not what the Lord is doing here. He says, you've got the poor always. He says, there's coming a time I'll be gone and you can focus on helping the poor. I'm here right now. And she's focusing on the here and now. It's kind of like Mary and Martha when the Lord Jesus was teaching at their home. And Mary was listening at the feet of Christ, and Martha, she was preparing. And the Lord says she's chosen that good part. Why? Because the Lord was there right then. Later she could serve, but right then was the time to listen at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She had everything in perspective. We often fail to make priorities. We often get things out of perspective. Too often we fail in the day of worship to worship because we're thinking elsewhere instead of recognizing now is the time to sit at the feet of Christ. I can do other things later. I've got Monday through Saturday to do the other things, but here is the day of the Lord. I'm going to be at the house of the Lord, and my mind is going to be set on the things of the Lord, and we're going to do what we can. I love what it says of John in Revelation chapter 1. You know, you read the book of Revelation, it's a glorious revelation. I know a lot of people are fearful of it, but all it is showing the triumphant Jesus Christ. You know what it says in Revelation chapter 1? John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I suspect if he hadn't been in the Spirit on the Lord's day, we wouldn't have the book of Revelation. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord blessed him to see some things that he otherwise would not have seen. He came that day on the Lord's day prepared to worship the Lord, and the Lord blessed him in his worship. This woman did what she could. The others complained. The Lord said, you've always got the poor, and I expect you to help the poor. In fact, we'll find in Matthew 25, when he divides his sheep from the goat, one of the indications of a sign of a child of God is one who's willing to help those who are in need. So certainly we as the Lord's people ought to try to help. But here in this case, this woman had this one opportunity to help the Lord, and she did what she could do. I turn to Luke chapter 21. And we find there another woman that was able to do what she could. And she recognized she could do only what she could. But she didn't use that as an excuse because she didn't have greater to give. We find in Luke chapter 21 that the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting over by the treasury in the temple. And he's sitting there observing as people come and make their contributions at the house of the Lord. And as he's sitting there watching, a lot of Pharisees come in and they cast in great lots of money. And certainly that was a wonderful thing. I won't tell you, don't come and cast lots of money down here this afternoon. If you've got a lot to cast in, cast it in. That's not the point. These Pharisees were casting in, though, for the purpose of showing others that they were giving sacrificially, or so they wanted it to appear. But while the Lord is sitting by watching all these Pharisees casting in great amounts, there was a widow woman who out of her penury or poverty came and cast in two mites. You know what? It was all she had. Here she came in and cast all she had, and the Lord tells the disciples, observe what I've seen. He lets them know that she, through her poverty, had done this thing, and she had given more than these Pharisees who had cast in great amounts of money. She cast in a minimal amount. It probably wouldn't pay hardly for a candle in the temple, but yet the Lord says she's given more than anyone else. You may not be able to give very much in the Lord's house. It might not pay part of the electric bill. But the Lord knows how much it is of what you do have, and we do with it what we can. Here, that woman in Mark 14 didn't have much, but what she did have, she gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ, anointing his body for burial. Here, this widow, she knew her responsibility before God, and even though it was everything that she had, she trusted, if I cast this into the Lord's house, the Lord will provide what I need come tomorrow morning. There's been times I've been sitting down on Sunday morning to write the check to donate to the house of God, and I start thinking about Monday's needs and Tuesday's needs and Wednesday's needs, and all of a sudden every time I think of another day's needs, you know, the amount decreases of what I'm about to write to the Lord's house. That woman wasn't so. That woman, she cashed in all she had, trusting that God would provide for her later. And so the Lord says, even though the amount was smaller than anyone else's donation, she gave more than they all, because out of her poverty she did this. She recognized that she might not be much in the world's esteem, but she was going to do what she could do, and the Lord blessed her in her effort. We find another woman in Luke chapter 7. The Bible says this was a woman which was a sinner. Oftentimes, when the Bible talks about a woman being a sinner, it's talking about a woman of ill repute. And here this woman was, which was a sinner, and Jesus happens to be eating at a Pharisee's house this time. When he talked to the woman in Mark 14, he was at a leper's house. The Lord didn't care if he went to lepers' houses or whether he went to Pharisees' houses. He also went to Zacchaeus' house, who was a publican. If you invited the Lord, he was willing to go. Here it was a Pharisee that invited him home, and he went with him. And while he goes to this Pharisee's home, this woman, which was a sinner, comes in. And the Lord begins to have a conversation with her. Actually, she begins to do some things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Mark 14, the woman anointed his body with oil. This time you're going to find a woman comes in with perfume, and she begins to wash the feet of Christ and dry his feet with her hair. And while she's doing this, recognizing this is the Lord of glory, obviously she's got the reputation in town of being a sinner, because this Pharisee knows all about her. And when the Lord begins to receive this woman and bless this woman, the Pharisee begins to speak within his heart. I love when the men of the Bible speak in their heart, and then the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to them regarding what they were thinking in their heart, and showing how sovereign he is, that he knows what's in our thoughts and in our mind and in our hearts. Here this Pharisee thought within himself that this man eats with publicans and sinners. What in the world is the Lord thinking to keep company with such folks as this? See, this woman, she had a bad reputation. And according to the scripture, she had earned it. The very perfume, I suspect, that she's anointing the Lord with had probably been used in her business prior. It probably had been used before to seduce and allure men. And it's all that she had. But yet the Lord changed this woman. She was risen with Christ, so she began to seek those things which were above. And all she had were the tools of her trade, but she took them from an ungodly use and began to use them for a godly use. And the very perfume that she used in her occupation, now she brings and anoints the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then with her own hair, she dries his feet. And of course, the Pharisee begins to condemn her. The Lord speaks a proverb to the Pharisee. He talks about a creditor who has two debtors. One who owes a great amount, and one an insignificant amount. And the Lord asked the question, if the creditor forgave both, who would be more grateful? Who would show more gratitude? And the Pharisee says, I suppose the one who had the greater debt forgiven. And the Lord says, well hast thou said. And then he begins to show that he's talking about him and this woman. This woman had a great debt, and the Lord forgave her debt. And through that, she rejoiced and worshiped him by washing his feet and drying his feet. She showed her gratitude unto the Lord. She did, though, what she could do. We turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we find another widow woman. It's amazing how many widow women in the Bible did great things because they did what they could do. They focused on what they could accomplish instead of focusing on what they could not accomplish. In 1 Kings 17, we find a widow woman who God greatly blesses because she did what she could do. We find in 1 Kings 17 a man by the name of Elijah. He tells Ahab that it will not rain until he prays again. He's prayed the first time that God would cause the rain to cease, and God hears that prayer. And for 3.5 years, there'll be no rain. And the Lord first sends Elijah to a brook, and a raven feeds him every morning and every evening. But the day comes that the brook dries up. So the Lord tells Elijah to go down to a certain widow woman's house, and he's to command her there. And so Elijah does as the Lord bids him. He goes down to the widow's house. And the widow tells Elijah that she has a little meal and a little oil left in the cruse. The great drought has come. There's no food in the land. She says, this is our last meal. We're about to make and eat and prepare to die. And so Elijah says, okay, you make your last meal. But I want you to do this first. First, you make me a little cake. And then you make for yourself and for your son. You know, that woman, I'm sure, had to stop and think for a moment. Well, you know, this is all I've got left. But yet she's already said, I'm going to make this last meal and then we're going to die. But yet at the same time, you could think somebody could get real greedy and real covetous very quick in such a situation. But she hearkens to the Lord, because she hearkens to the Lord's man. The Lord's man tells her, you first make me a little cake. I don't know what that tasted like. It says it was just oil and meal. I've had some very good cornbread in my days, but it had more than corn and meal. Excuse me, meal and oil. But obviously, if you're doing without, it must have been a great meal. But here she's suspecting it's going to be her last meal. But we find that she does as God commands. She did what she could do. Obviously, she couldn't go down to Publix and prepare a great feast for this man. She couldn't show hospitality in the way that she might have done when things were going well. How often in times of poverty or in times of recession or times of depression, all of a sudden our giving to those in need decreases and we're not willing to help those who are in need. Here this woman could have said, we're in a great drought right now. I don't have to give to you right now. I can't be given to hospitality at this moment. But instead, she was given to hospitality, and we find that Elijah was willing to use that hospitality. She did what she could do. And the Lord blessed her in what she did. Because we find that when she'd go back every time, there was always meal and there was always oil in the cruse. They always had what they needed. If she had refused the man of God, I highly suspect that would have been their last meal. And she and her son would have died. But she hearkened to the Lord and she trusted the Lord to provide for her. And the Lord did provide for her. And she had everything she needed until the rains came upon the earth again. God daily provided in a miraculous way because she was willing to obey the Lord and do what she could do instead of focusing on what she could not do. I find in Matthew chapter 19, a certain man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ wanting to know what he can do. He comes to the Lord. We need to recognize that there are things we can do. But we also need to recognize there are things we cannot do. And this man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is confused about what he can do and what he can't do. And he's getting it all mixed up. He comes to the Lord in Matthew chapter 19. And he says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, his question is flawed to begin with. You don't do anything to inherit anything. I have a father and I have a mother, and I suspect unless I act so badly, I'll be one of their heirs. I have four siblings, so most likely I'll be a part heir with my siblings. I didn't do anything to become an heir of my father or my mother. I simply was born in the family, and I had no power over that. I just simply was brought into the family, and through that, I'm made an heir. Thankfully, I've been brought into the family of God, and there's nothing I can do to become an heir of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're children of God. He said, first we're children, and then we're heirs, and then we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Not because I did anything, but simply because God brought me into the family. Well, here this man comes asking a flawed question to begin with. Because he says, master, or good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you can't do anything to inherit it. The Lord tells him some of the commandments of Moses. And he begins to respond to the Lord, yes, Lord, I've done all these things from my youth up. You know, I haven't lied, I haven't stolen, I haven't cheated, I haven't committed adultery. In other words, I've done everything just right. From top to bottom, I've fulfilled all that I was supposed to do. We find Saul of Tarsus thought that way. We find the Pharisee who came to the temple to pray thought that way. However, we find that the publican that just simply smote his breast and wouldn't even look up his eyes to heaven and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's the one that went home justified. He recognized there was little he could do except pray to God. And so he went home justified. So he says, master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
The Lord repeats the commandments. He said, well, these I've done, I've kept from my youth up. The Lord says, well, one thing you lack. One thing, as Brother Ronald preached last week, is enough. One thing is all it takes to keep us from a life in heaven with the Lord at the last day. One sin is all it took for Adam to be driven out of the garden. One sin, as Brother Matt's already brought before us this morning, corrupted our nature until the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for us, and through regeneration our nature has changed. We have been corrupted by one thing. The Lord tells him, one thing you lack. Go sell all you have and give to the poor. It's amazing that a widow woman who is poor will go into the house of God and cast in all that she has. And yet this man who has great things, the Lord says, go and sell and give it to the poor. He won't do it. It says he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. Here this woman had few possessions, but she was willing to cast in all she had. Here the Lord tells him out of his many possessions to sell and give, and he won't do it. He could have done it. He couldn't inherit eternal life. He could have given to the poor. He wanted to do something he could not do, and he wouldn't do something that he could. How many times do we find that among the Lord's people? We find people who want to do things that they cannot do, but yet they will not do the things that they can do. I realize very clearly that there is a good proverb. It's not in the Bible, but it's still a good proverb that says, God helps those who help themselves. That teaches me there's things that I can do, and I ought to do the things that I can, and the Lord will bless me in doing those things and help me to do those things. But I also know there's things beyond my ability. This man's confused. He says, well, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Nothing. But here's what you can do. You can sell what you've got and give to the poor. He won't do that, even though he could do it. Remember the woman in Mark 14? She had done what she could. This man did not do what he could. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. Over the past few years, there have been some who say that this man went to hell. I don't believe it, because the Bible says Jesus, beholding him, loved him. This was a child of God who was tied up to his riches and would not let them go. And he lost the blessings of God because he held on to his riches instead of holding on to the Lord. And so he went away sorrowful. I expect to meet him in glory when I get there myself, if I am blessed to go. The Lord loved him. But yet this man loved his riches more than he loved the Lord. He loved his wealth more than he loved the Lord's commandments. And he wanted to do something he couldn't do, instead of doing what he could do. We need to recognize there are things we can do and things we cannot. Here in the house of God, God may call on you to preach, and when he does, you can preach. If he hadn't called on you, you can't do it, so don't try to do what you can't do. But if he does call you, go forward and do it. The Bible says that any man that desires the office of a bishop desireth a good work. And if you can do it, I encourage you to do it. If you can stand before the congregation and lead in worship through our song service, do it. If you can pray to God, which we all can do, sometimes it seems like there may be nothing more that we can do. But we can still go to the Lord as an intercessor for our brethren and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ as a prayer warrior, begging his mercies upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be blessed financially, and what you can do is help the house of God financially. You may be blessed with various skills, and not only could you come here to the house of God and do carpentry work or other work, you can also help those who are in the church and those outside the church, and use what the Lord has blessed you and use it for the good. Again, that woman in Luke 7, she once used her perfume for an ungodly use, but once the Lord blessed her to know the truth and to know him, she used it for a godly purpose. The Lord tells the disciples there in Matthew 19, after the man who said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? They're amazed. The disciples hear the Lord then say, he said, it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And this is why. Most rich people did not get their riches by giving it away. Most wealthy people got it by holding on to it tight. And they will not, most of the cases, will not let it go. And that's why the Lord says it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. A rich man can do it if he's willing to let go of those things and hold on to the Lord. I find Proverbs teaches us that we're to buy the truth and sell it not. There is a cost in serving the Lord Jesus. And for the wealthy, sometimes it's letting that go. But the Lord says it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And notice how the disciples respond. Who then can be saved? They want to know, well, what can we do? That woman in Mark 14, she did what she could. Now the disciples want to know, what can we do? What can we do to be saved? I love the Lord's response. This goes back to things we can't do. He says, with men, this is impossible. That one statement of the Lord Jesus Christ destroys every works doctrine that's ever been invented. With men, this is impossible. That teaches me there's nothing that I can do to enter the kingdom of God. There's nothing that I can do to inherit the eternal life that the Lord has blessed me with. It must have been a free gift, which the Bible testifies that it is. So he says, what must, or they said, who then can be saved? He says, with men, this is impossible. And I'm thankful he didn't stop there. I'm thankful that it is a possibility with someone. It's simply just not a possibility with me. And it's not a possibility with you. He says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That tells me that God can save his children. And the Bible teaches us that he has. We find, of course, as the angel came to Mary and also to Joseph. It was testified that they would have a son. They would call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. I believe this was pointed out this past weekend. The Apostle Paul would later write, said, who hath called us and who hath saved us? It's in the past tense there. Thanks be to God, he's able and he did it. I am not able and I can't do it. And there I must trust in the living God who can and trust that he has. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, says, behold, the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot say, cannot hear. He says, but your sins have hid God's face from us. It's not that God was unable. It's not that God was limited or restricted. He says God's arm is strong to save, and God's ear can hear. He's not deaf and he's not weak. He says, but our sins have caused God to hide his face from us. He goes on through Isaiah 59 and lists our depravity. And then it says that God looked and wondered that there was no mediator. There was no daysman. There was no one to come between. So he says, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. I didn't do it and you didn't do it. We need to recognize there are things we cannot do. Here the disciples ask the question, who then can be saved? With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Again, the woman said, or the Lord said to the woman, she had done what she could. The Lord would go on and say, verily I say unto you, that wheresoever this gospel is preached to the whole world, it shall be preached as a memorial unto her. I don't know her name, but I know her character. And because what she did do, because she could do it, it's been recorded. And wherever in the world this gospel's been preached, this woman's been spoken of. I don't know how many times I've heard this woman talked about. I don't know how many times I've talked about her. But every time I fulfill the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said wherever this gospel's preached, it's going to be preached what she did do, because she could do it. Again, as I quoted early in this message, Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now I recognize that the all things there does have some limitations on it. That does not mean all without exception. Obviously I cannot deliver myself from hell to heaven. I cannot do certain things. But there are things that I can do through the grace and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm to call upon him to help me do those things that I can do so that I can be a useful servant in the house of God. We look at several of the parables, and in one case, we find the Lord Jesus Christ taught about himself going away. And before he went away, though, he committed some talents or some gifts to some individuals. There were three different men that he gave talents or gifts to. Actually, in the scriptures, it was actually money. He gave to one man five, one man two, and one man one. The man with five and the man with two did what they could. And when the Lord came back, they had increased double what the Lord had given them, and the Lord blessed them to oversee double what they had before. The man who had five cities to reign over was blessed with 10. The man with two went to 4. But what happened to the man with one? He did not do what he could do, and so the Lord removed from him what he did have. Here in the house of God and the Lord's service, there are things that we can do and we ought to do them. And we ought to know the Lord has blessed us all with various gifts, and we ought to employ ourselves using those gifts for the benefit of the Lord's people and to the glory of God. Because if we do not, it is very possible, I say it's likely, it shall occur that the Lord shall remove that which has been given to us. That man lost his gift because he did not use what the Lord had blessed him to have to do with. Again, she had done what she could. Too often we focus on what we're not able to do instead of focusing on the Lord, who's able to do all things and who's through whose strength we can do great and mighty things. I recognize that as human beings we're limited, but I thank God that we serve a Lord who is not. And there are things that I can do. I can stand before you through the Lord's grace and strength and proclaim the gospel of the living God. I can come to your home and try to encourage you and try to pastor you. There are things that you can do. You can get on the phone with one another and encourage one another. You can invite people that you know, friends and neighbors and family, to the house of God, and who knows whether or not the Lord will hear that, or they will hear that, come and hear the gospel, rejoice in it, repent of their sins, and find a home in the church of the living God. There are things you can do. Seek those things out and employ yourself in doing them for the Lord's glory, for the Lord's majesty, and for the house of God's benefit. You can do through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's focus on that and not what we can't do. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.